This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Have you heard of Quranly? It's a habit-building Quran app unlike anything you've seen before. The app tracks your verses, pages, time, and hasanat gained as well. I've tried it too. Take your Quran reading from inconsistent to finishing it twice a year with the meaning. Check out the 7-day free trial. Download it on the App Store now. Search Quranly.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers and sisters, this is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come to a house that belongs to anyone, you need to have a connection with the owner of the house in order to be comfortable at that particular house. You would not go to a house where you don't have a good relation with the owner of that house. Do you not agree? And so you need to thank Allah that He put it in your heart to come to His house and you feel a connection so that you're comfortable to come here. That's a very important point. If Allah did not want you here today, you would not be here. And the same applies. He doesn't just have one house. The houses of Allah, al-masjidu baytullahi fil ard. The masjid, the place where sujood is made, prostration is made in congregation. Those places belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are millions of them across the globe. Ask yourself, do I feel connected to the houses of Allah? When you and I are traveling and suddenly on the road you see a minara or a mi'dana, as they call it in the Arabic language, or you see a dome and you see a masjid, does it make you happy or sad? It's a question you need to ask yourself in order to gauge your closeness to Allah. If it makes you excited and happy to see a masjid, and if you feel connected, then it means you have some form of a relation with Allah. Thank Him for it. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the hearts are in the hands of Allah. He turns them as He wishes. Ya muqallib al qulub, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. Ya musarrif al qulub, sarrif qulubana ila ta'atik. O you who turns the hearts, turn our hearts towards the deen. O you who moves the hearts, move our hearts towards you and your obedience. So your heart and my heart, yes, it belongs to us temporarily, but the ownership is Allah's. Do you decide whether you have a heart problem or not? No, Allah decides. Do you decide whether your heart will stop pumping or not? No, it's Allah who decides. So Allah owns you and your heart. The turning of the hearts in the hands of Allah. This is the reason why every day, more than 17 times a day, we are taught to read Surah Al-Fatiha in the units of Salah. You read it, the Imam reads it, or both of you read it. Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. Guide us to the straight path. Why do I have to keep repeating, guide us to the straight path? If you open the pages of the Quran, right at the beginning, the first dua that is made is guide us to the straight path. Because guidance is in the hands of Allah and it is the biggest gift you can ever have. So when your heart is inclined towards goodness, towards the masjid, towards the places of worship, towards worship, and it feels a distance from sin, that means Allah has chosen to guide you. Thank Allah. When you come into the masjid, what do you say? Wallahi, you enter according to the sunnah with your right foot as best as you can remember. What that means, it's not compulsory. You know, you don't say, oh, this man committed a sin because he entered with the wrong foot. No, no, no. It's not compulsory. It is only sinful if you intentionally enter with the left foot, then it's a sin because then you are defying the sunnah. But I don't think there is a Muslim who would defy a sunnah intentionally. However, you enter with your right foot as far as you can. What do you say? Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. What door are you entering here? You're entering the door of the house of Allah. What does it mean? If you are taught to say, oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy, it means mercy is achieved in the house of Allah. That's what it means. You want mercy in your life. The world out there, wallahi, is merciless. Go and check. People will rob you, steal from you, cheat you, deceive you, smash you, bash you. But Allah will say, Hayya alal falah. Come to success. Come to what? Come to success. Where is it found? It's found in the houses of Allah. It's found in prayer. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from the hustle and the bustle that was around at the time in Medina Munawwara, he used to look at the one with the most beautiful voice, Bilal ibn Rabah radiyallahu anhu, and he used to say, Arihna biha ya Bilal. You know, asking him to call out the adhan. Call it out so that it can comfort us. What will comfort you? The adhan. Does the adhan comfort you? When you hear, come to success, do you believe that that is directed to you? When you hear, come to salah, hayya ala salah, when you hear it, do you believe it's directed to you? If you do, you're a believer, you're a mu'min. If you don't, and if you think, okay, it's directed to those other guys, then you have a lot of work to do on yourself. May Allah help us and strengthen us. It's like when Allah says in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. When you hear that, do you quickly listen and say, yes, what is he saying? If you do, it means you consider yourself a believer. Allah says, O you who believe. Yes, yes, what is Allah saying? If that's your attitude and that's your reaction, mashallah, you consider yourself a believer from Allah. But when you hear, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu tubu ilallahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, return to Allah in repentance in a beautiful way. And you think, oh, that's a nice verse, but it doesn't feel like it's directed to you. Then you need to pay attention a little bit more. Subhanallah. The reason I started this way regarding the houses of Allah, we are here in this beautiful masjid. If I'm not mistaken, it is Masjid al-Salihin in Preston. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the effort of all those who made it possible. I think its location is different in the sense that it's pretty strategic, very close to the railway station, if I'm not mistaken. And you know what? I had a tour of this masjid, and if I'm not mistaken, this is the first Jumu'ah here, right? May Allah accept it from us, from all of those who made it happen, and from all of those who shall come, and all of those who will encourage others to come, knowing that it's not the only masjid in the locality. There are hundreds of other masajid around you. However, today we are celebrating because we are happy. You know, the word celebration, it depends what you make of it. Here, I'm only referring to the joy and the happiness. There's no specific party or dishing out of food, no. But it's the joy within that we're just calling a celebration, because Salatul Jumu'ah here, mashallah, tabarakallah, may Allah accept it. So for us to encourage others, for us to come ourselves, subhanallah, we will earn a great reward in the eyes of Allah. When you enter, you're asking Allah, oh Allah, open for me. Fling open for me the doors of your mercy. I have problems in my life. I have a loss that I suffered. I have people I've lost. I have loved ones who don't have good health. I have so much worry. I've lost a job. Oh Allah, fling open for me the doors of your mercy. And then you come in and you remove your shoes. Musa alayhi salam, when he was entering the valley, he was told, Ikhla'na alayka innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi tuwa. You are in this valley of Tuwa, in the blessed valley. Remove your shoes, subhanallah. Especially when the place is clean, as it is right now, and when it's carpeted, like what happens today. You remove your shoes, at times it would depict that what was connecting me to the world, I've just taken it out, left it at the door. When I walk in, I'm not going to talk about business. I'm not going to talk about anything. I'm leaving all my affairs outside that door. I'm coming in for success, for mercy, for salah, for prayer, for dhikr. There was once an A'rabi, a Bedouin man, who didn't really know much about masjids and so on because he hadn't seen. He came from a distance and he tied his animal. He walked into the masjid and he felt the need or the urge to relieve himself. So he looked around and he decided, let me go to that corner. This is Masjid al-Nabawi. Which masjid? Masjid al-Nabawi. Went to one corner and decided to pee. Subhanallah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And he relieved himself peeing. Immediately the Sahaba radiallahu anhum got up naturally. They started, you know, scolding him, admonishing him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, La tazmuru. Don't admonish him and shout him that way. You know, it's very interesting when I think of this. And why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, don't admonish him this way? Number one, this is the house of Allah. Number two, the man is doing it out of ignorance. Like I said earlier, no one would intentionally say, okay, the sunnah is right, I'm going to do the left. If you're a Muslim, you won't do that. If you have, without being conscious of the sunnah, you entered with your left, you're not even sinful because it's not farad. But if you intentionally said, that is the sunnah, I'm going to do the opposite, you become sinful. Do you see the difference? This man, unintentionally, he didn't even know. He knew no better. For him, this is a big place here. I'm going to the corner, you know? And imagine while he is peeing, they're telling him to stop. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave him, let him finish what he's doing. Then we will talk to him. Because we want him to love the house of Allah. We want him to come back here, even after what he has done. We will correct what he has done. We will ensure that he's educated and then he will come back. It's a very interesting point because many people feel unwelcome in some masjids because of the attitude of the people in the masjid. Let's not let that happen. You welcome anyone and everyone whom Allah brings. I remember there was a man who told me that I saw in my dream that I was walking on a certain path from my house, a non-Muslim. And he says, I saw a certain path. I followed it. It took me to a certain place. I jumped into a certain taxi. I arrived at a certain place. I saw a little bridge. I went under the bridge. And as I came up, I saw a big light. And I was told, enter into this light. So he said, the following day, I followed exactly what happened. And he said, it was as though I had lived it before. And he said, I saw this bridge. And when I came out, I saw a masjid. And I knew it's a message telling me, enter into Islam. This is a fact. I know the story personally, and I know the brother personally. And so he entered Islam. These type of things do happen. Now, if he enters the masjid as a non-Muslim, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, wait, hang on, but Allah's brought him all the way here. You need to be wise enough to know how to process that at that moment. You need to know how to process it, but everyone must feel welcome because they are created by Allah. When Ali radiallahu anhu was leading the group entering or going into Khaybar at a war. It was a war. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at him and says, Ya Ali, O Ali, radiallahu anhu. Imagine, listen to this beautiful piece of advice. لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمِ. If Allah uses you to guide one person, it's better for you than the most valuable conveyance in this world. The most valuable conveyance in this world. If Allah uses you to guide one person, it's better for you than what this world can offer you in those terms. Now, if that is at a time of war, what about ordinary people coming in and out? Number one. Like I said, you process it, you welcome them. They want to know what's going on. They've heard all sorts of things. A lot of what they've heard is just propaganda. Now they'll come in and they see you, welcome them. You offer them some water. You let them sit down. You explain to them. You might want to show them around at an appropriate time. You might want to explain to them an appropriate dressing, etc. But we can cross all of that. We can. And we should. If that is the case with those who are not Muslim, what about those who are Muslim? There are some youngsters who might have a few bad habits. Who doesn't have a bad habit? There are some youngsters who might have a bad habit or two. When they want to come into the masjid, then everyone looks back, oh, how did you pitch up here today, man? Are you sure you're okay? You're mistaken. This is not a pub here. It's a masjid. How can you have that attitude towards the youngsters when Allah is bringing him to come here? Do you know what? A man who's a drunkard, a man who's a gambler, a man who is far from Allah, when Allah wants to guide, nobody can misguide. مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. The one whom Allah has guided, nobody can misguide. Allah will create a problem in his life. Allah will create such a problem that when he goes into the world and tries to solve it, one door, another door, another door, no door solves his problem besides the door of the house of Allah. He comes here, finally Allah brought him here. And you are standing here saying, judging him to say, you know what? What are you doing here today? My Allah brought me here. Your duty is to make the people feel comfortable. All of us, whether it's the imam, the teachers, the committees, or the musallis, or anyone else, your duty is to make everyone comfortable. The minimum is offer them a smile and a salam. When you get too deeply involved in worldly matters, you start having problems. Because you come here, you're sitting in one corner in i'tikaf, in Ramadan, and you're busy doing business deals. That's not fair. That's not fair. People are doing it because shaitan, even though he's not there physically in Ramadan. But you know what? By Wi-Fi, he still confuses people. Allah grant us ease. Allah grant us ease. From outside, he's still confusing the people. So make people feel comfortable. Let them come in. When we start getting too deeply involved in dunya in the masjid, meaning worldly business and material items in the masjid, you start having a problem. That is why when Allah Almighty revealed verses regarding the caravan that came at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during Jumu'ah, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they heard the caravan is here. They started walking out and checking what's happening, because a big business deal. I mean, someone's container just arrived and they're selling, something valuable at a very low price. You see, the big businessmen are out there. What's going on? وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً أَوْ لَهُوًا فَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا قُلْ مَا عِندَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. Allah describes that scene in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. And Allah says, when they saw the caravan of business and whatever else in material items, they left you standing delivering your talk and they went out to check what was going on. Tell them that what Allah has is better than your business. And it's better than amusement. And Allah is the best provider. If you are worried about provision, you have come to the door of the owner of the entire creation. Entire creation. Do you know there are telescopes at the moment that they have launched into the orbit, into space, that have gone the furthest ever, that have discovered almost galaxies similar to ours. And every day there are millions of planets that they are discovering every single day, taking images of them. I don't know if you or anyone else is keen on astronomy and so on, but if you are, you would know what I'm saying. We used to think, oh, this world, the world is big. It's one of the smallest planets in existence is the Earth. Small, minute. And we think we're a big deal. Subhanallah. Allah is telling you what Allah has is way more valuable than anything. So what is he saying to you? He's not saying don't do business. He's not saying don't earn halal. He's not saying don't enjoy life. He's not saying, all he's saying is put Allah first and then everything else. That's what it is. You put Allah first and then everything else. Time for salah, cut everything, chop everything. You come forward, fulfill your salah and go back and do your thing. And that's why if you look at Jumu'ah, The verse of the Quran says, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ fadlillah. When salah is completed, Jumu'ah salah, you can go out on the earth and you can start doing your business deals and you can earn from the virtue and the provision that Allah provides. Go and earn. Before salah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. When the caller calls, when the adhan is called for Jumu'ah, leave everything, leave your business and go to Jumu'ah. Go and listen to what Allah has asked you to listen to. Why does he say that? What does it prove? It proves that business times before Jumu'ah is business time according to the Quran. And after Jumu'ah is also business time according to the Quran. So it's not wrong to work on a Friday. You see, that's what Allah is telling you. But it's only the slot where you need to be somewhere. Go there. Go there. We are the providers. So people say, oh, but you know, I have to do this, I have to do that. Allah says, Wallahu khayrul raziqeen. Allah is the one, the best of the providers. You worried about provision? He owns it. Don't compromise that. Your Jumu'ah is your Jumu'ah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us acceptance. Then, once we are done and we are exiting the masjid, what is the dua that you are supposed to make? Amazing. When you entered, what did you say? Allahumma aftah li abwaaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, fling open for me the doors of your mercy. Fling open for me the doors of your mercy. And you come in and you put your head on the ground with comfort. Khushu'. Calm, take your time. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Don't rush it. This is Allah, your Lord. It might be your last day in the dunya. People have passed away in salah, so take your time. And if you do, chances of you passing away in your salah are increased by the number of seconds you've lengthened it by. Right? And then you come up, you complete your salah, you smile at the brothers, whoever is here, you know, and you then, mashallah, you greet whoever you can and you walk out. As you're walking out, do you know what's the dua? Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask you, I seek from you your virtue. I ask you to give me from your virtue. What is the virtue of Allah? The whole dunya and everything and Jannah and whatever else. Oh Allah, accept it from me. I came in here, I asked you for mercy. When I'm walking out, I'm saying, oh Allah, give me. Just give me. What? Anything and everything. Good. That's Allah's fadl. Subhanallah. And then you come and five times a day that you're coming in, making this dua, going out, making this other dua. Subhanallah. That is the house of Allah. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that on the day of Qiyamah, there will be seven categories of people who will be offered a special shade by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of them is Rajulun qalbuhu mu'allakum bil masajidi. A person whose heart is hanging in the masjid. It's connected to the masjid. Every time you are connected to a masjid in every way. You go there for salah, you contribute, you help, you assist, your money is there. What is meant by that? Look, today, we are here offering salah. This masjid must have costed a few million, according to my estimate. We're here for salah. We're not paying a penny. What's happening? The lights, electricity, the water, the heating, the carpet, the facility. Put a price. If someone told you, you need to pay for using this facility, what amount do you think is a fair amount? I want to hear it. What do you think is fair? You came for Jumu'ah, you walked into the masjid, you used the parking maybe, or you put your shoes there, so your shoes are parked there. By the way, no one's shoes ever got a ticket. Huh? So, you put your shoes there, you came in, mashallah, you sat, you had a nice time, alhamdulillah, you read your salah. What is salah? It's the strongest connection with Allah. And mashallah, you enjoyed yourself, you might have made wudu, you benefited from the light, the windows, everything else, the facility, and you walked out, and you're a wealthy man, or whatever it is. What amount do you think is fair if we told you, you know what, you have used so much of the masjid, and this is a fair amount for every salah? What do you think it is? Let me make it easy for you, okay? Because I see everyone, some of the guys are smiling, thinking, don't worry. We won't say £5. I won't say £5. I'll say £1. £1? For my connection with Allah, I should pay £1,000. Do you agree? Or more. But let's say £1. In a day, £5. Okay? In 5 days, £25. In a week, we won't say 35, we give you a discount of 5, £30. Right? In a month, we'll say, we won't go all the way to the 4 weeks, only 3.5, we'll tell you £100. If we paid £1 for a salah here, wallahi, our facilities would be 10 star. And we would all love it and we would enjoy it and we would come. But nobody's even asking you for that. All I want to say today is when Allah puts it in your heart to contribute £1 a week in the box, subhanallah, it is Allah accepting your money to be used in His house. It's got nothing to do with you and you wanting. It's not your want, it's Allah. Allah accepts things from people. Remember, this is a verse of the Quran. The first murder that was committed on earth was Abel and Cain, right? Habil and Qabil. When Qabil killed Habil, the reason was Allah accepted one of the charities and rejected the other. So Allah proved He doesn't need it. إِذْ قَرَّبَا قُرْبَانًا فَتُقُبِّلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمَا وَلَمْ يُتَقَبَّلْ مِنَ الْآخَرِ قَالَ لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. The children of Adam, they presented the sadaqah. At that time, there were no poor people. It was only them. So Allah says, put it on the mountain. If it's eaten by the fire, it means it's accepted. And if it's not, it's not accepted. That's in the Quran. So one of them was accepted and the other one was not. The one became jealous of the other. The point I'm making is, acceptance is in the hands of Allah. When Allah puts it in your heart to give, give. Even if it is a little, I tell you why. When you put your money in a good way, that's a good deed. Perhaps through the barakah of you having invested in something that is far more valuable than Bitcoin, your money will become millions and billions, and through that barakah, Allah will use you to do more and more and more and more good. And Allah will give you more because you are giving. If you make an intention to give, what will Allah do? He will first give you so that you can give someone else. That's why you give. مَا نَقَصَ مَالٌ مِّن صَدَقَةٍ. The Prophet ﷺ says, nobody's wealth ever has been depleted because of a charity that he or she gave. Nobody's wealth has ever depleted. So give. My brothers, my sisters, you might say, no, but I'm supporting that masjid and that masjid. Put £5 here, it's okay. You can keep on putting 50 that side, but put 5 here, you never know. Those of you in Bitcoin, you know what I mean. You put a little bit there and some there also. You might not know the one where you put little will probably become more than the one where you put more, right? Sorry to talk about that, but I know it's an example that a lot of you would understand. So my brothers, my sisters, these are the houses of Allah. Frequent them, be connected to them. I tell you, we are fortunate to be given such freedoms as to be able to worship Allah. And we live in harmony with all those around us, be they Muslim or non-Muslim. When we are parking our cars, when we are coming here, we don't want to be a nuisance to those who are not Muslim, where they start saying these Muslims are a problem. Never. We should be orderly. We should be courteous. We should be people who are friendly. We should, when people see us, they should want to become better people. They should want to be Muslim. They should see that, yes, when you heard of the big beards, you thought these people are harmful, but actually they are the calmest, the most beautiful, the most amazing, the most helping, the most who reach out to those in need. And the mindset changes. So these are the houses of Allah. We thank Allah for gathering us here today. May Allah grant us from His mercy, and may Allah Almighty really grant us from His virtue as we leave. And inshallah, I pray that Allah bring us again to His house and His houses and connect our hearts. And may Allah Almighty gather us in Jannatul Firdaus ma'an nabiyyina was-siddiqina was-shuhada'i was-salihin. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.